Hey everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Todd. How's it going?
I'm almost a little bit of a funk. I'm just like, it's Thursday already. And I'm like, where did the week go? It's been busy, but lots of stuff going on in the podcasting space.
Yeah, it certainly is.
So as a reminder, before we get started today, I am doing individual podcast consults. If you're interested in having if you're a Blueberry customer and you would like to have a free podcast consult, it's a 30-minute time I spend with you. Drop me an email and I will send you an invite to a calendar link, and you can set a time and we can have a chit chat. So that's something I'm offering, and I'm doing 5 to 8 of those a week. So it is kind of limited, but if you want to just drop me a line and then I'll add you as I get down in the list. And don't worry, we'll get to everyone. But anyway, today we're going to talk about news. We're going to talk about some best practices, Blueberry news as well. We've got an interview with Joshua Manley, Nerd On, the podcast. So it's a cool interview. And of course, we got some support stuff. So, Mike, heading right off the news, JetBlue. I don't fly JetBlue, but I guess if you do, you can listen to podcasts now.
Yeah, but some podcasts. It looks like Spotify's made a deal with JetBlue to add podcasts to their in-flight entertainment. But reading into the article that I found, or the press release, it's only podcasts from Anchor, Gimlet, Paracast, and Spotify Studios that will be on the system. So you won't be on JetBlue unless you're using one of those. Well, actually, you can't use any of those except Anchor. And all the rest of them are curated shows by Spotify-owned properties.
And I'm sure the curated shows on Anchor, too.
Yeah, so. I'm going to guess.
Yeah, so the gatekeepers come, right?
More gatekeepers, that's for sure. Yeah. And, on the other hand, you know, you got your phone, put your headphones in, you can listen to whatever you want.
And, you know, it seems like a new podcast company launches every single day. And apparently UCP, whoever that is, some new company is getting into podcasting. And they're going to be doing scripted podcasts from a variety of shows. So a little bit of information on that. But you and I both were trying to figure out who these folks were, but it looks like they're working with celebrities.
Yeah, that looks like they're, you know, like Dirty John and Homecoming are, you know, TV shows and podcasts. And it's the company that sort of is behind those on the TV side, I think.
Mm.
You know, near as I can reckon from the article anyway. So it's a new company called UCP Audio.
Awesome. Well, Spotify is in the news again, and they're launched Spotify Kids. So I haven't looked too much into this, but I guess this is a specific tracks and specific content that they feel is kid safe.
Yeah, it's a standalone app. So, you know, you've got Spotify's main app, and then you can also, for your kids, download the Spotify Kids app. And it's curated music and other things that are specifically okay for kids.
Nice. So Manoush Zomardi, and if I pronounce his name wrong, I apologize, is taking over for Guy Raz on the TED Radio Hours, when that came from Pod News. So if any of you listen to that show, there's soon to be a new host over there.
Yeah, TED Radio Hour, you know, I don't listen to a ton of NPR stuff, but I kind of like that one because, you know, sometimes, you know, it depends on who the TED talker is that they're interviewing, but it's a pretty neat show, and Guy Raz, I think, is going a little more independent, and I think he's leaving NPR, although I don't think that's been announced, but that's kind of what I'm getting at, or kind of what I'm getting because he has started a couple of independent shows that are not NPR. So
interesting.
We'll see if he actually leaves completely, but her name is definitely a tongue twister.
Yeah. So moving on here, NPR, they're going to be merging their NPR One and the NPR app. So they're going to merge those into one app. So what's it going to be called? What's the final app going to be called? NPR One?
It doesn't say here in the article that Jen wrote up over at Podcaster News, but they are making plans to just have one NPR app. So it might just be called the NPR app. But NPR One has been, you know, kind of a catch-all podcasting app that NPR's put out over the years. And, you know, even independent podcasters could get into it, although it was highly curated. So maybe they're taking their normal NPR app and just kind of rolling that into it. So, you know, less dev, I guess, I'm guessing. Right.
So as a reminder, those of you that are on Blueberry can apply to have their podcast on Deezer. It's one of our destinations. But Deezer now has a dedicated podcast section in their app that was announced this morning. So again, the adaption by podcasters has been a little slow.
Yeah,
we've been watching the numbers of people apply. And, you know, here's the thing. It doesn't matter where people listen, as long as they listen. So it's another destination. So make sure you're getting your show submitted to Deezer. And of course, you can find that in the podcaster dashboard over at blueberry.com where you can do that.
Right. And we'll be talking a little more about destinations in the support section coming up.
So let's talk a little bit about some best practices. And today I want to talk a little bit about marketing. One thing I've been finding from many of the calls that I've been doing with Blueberry podcasters is many of them are doing the right things as far as having a Facebook group and, you know, kind of trying to build community. But one thing I've kind of been hearing as a trend is that not everyone knows where their audience is. So you kind of have to find where your audience is hanging out. I know that for sure, you know, the audience for my particular show that I do personally, the show that's called Geek News Central, I know that my audience hangs out on Twitter and hangs out on Facebook. That's where they're at. That's where they are. So that's where I am with them. But if you're a business show, your audience might be over on LinkedIn. Or it may be in some other social media app. It all depends on where they kind of congregate. So you kind of have to make some determinations on where your community is really living and participate in those groups in those communities where they're at. So if they're on LinkedIn, there's different groups on LinkedIn. If they're on Facebook, there's different groups on Facebook. And you got to kind of find a place to hang your shingle on social media to kind of build your audience and have a little interaction. And one thing is for sure is you definitely can, definitely be sending them back to their own webpage is an option as well. One thing I just kind of figured out personally, Mike, is I started a Discord channel, and Discord has typically been used by a lot of gamers, and but I've had a big number of techies influx into my channels on Discord, not only for Geek News Central, but on the new media show. So I'm pretty pleased so far. And it's just another place where people can kind of congregate and chit chat. So, you know, I've had probably the fastest growth of any network just going into Discord. So what about you, Mike? Are you finding your audiences are hanging out in a certain location?
Yeah, mine's mostly, you know, like yours, Facebook and Twitter, not so much LinkedIn. And then also, you know, at podcasting conferences, since my podcast help desk is about podcasting. Right. So, you know, the same place that we hang out as a company is about the right place for my podcast as well. So, you know, kind of have a built-in advantage there, maybe.
And another thing is a best practices, and, you know, oftentimes I tell people you have to do more than podcasts, and I keep saying this again and again and again, is that you need to get out, again, just like where you're hanging out digitally, you need to go to events where the content's being created, or there's people that are like-minded or the same type of genre of content. So you need to attend an event, whether it be a trade show, whether it be a symposium, you know, some place where the content that you do on the topic you do, I guarantee you there's an event somewhere for that.
Right. And if you're doing a show about knitting, you want to go to the big knitting event if you can, right. You know, anything like that.
So, I was talking with one gentleman and, you know, they go to 2 podcast events every year. And they said, well, we can't afford to go to another event. I said, well, pick one podcast conference to feed your brain on the podcast side and then go to one conference that's about your content and go there and get extra content, meet people, get some interviews, you know, network, build your authority, ask to speak, get a press pass, those types of things. So I'm telling people, try to attend one event a year in your niche if you can afford it. And if you can't go to a national event, try to find something local. Maybe many of you are in states where there's something very close in another state, something maybe in a tri-state area. So definitely find something in your niche to go to. And it's a wealth of content. And not only that, you can promote your show. You can do interviews with people. You can get ideas. It's really kind of a place. And I call it, and feed the beast. You're feeding the beast. You're feeding your show additional content that may attract new listeners. So attend at least one event a year in your niche.
Yeah, definitely. I do another show about another subject, and I actually got to judge a contest in that subject. I won't talk about it, but it was interesting, and I met a lot of people. So
yeah, exciting stuff here. So a little bit on Blueberry News. Well, the Tech Podcast Network site is live, the new site. If you want to check it out, it's running on our network plugin. We are building some additional sites to show off the diversity of the design and what the plugin can do. So it's pretty plain Jane over there at Tech Podcast, but it gives you an idea. So Mike, what do you think so far on how the site looks?
Oh, it looks a whole lot more modern than what we had there before. And it is highly customizable because it's based on WordPress. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, some of the other sites when we get those up. But yeah, definitely Tech Podcasts, the functionality of it is wonderful. And I'm sure we have a couple little things to work out with it. But so far, it looks great.
Yeah, so we're excited about bringing that to market sometime mid next week. So let's talk about this next best tool contest. It's getting ready to end.
Yep, that's the contest that we're running over on, I think there's a post on PowerPress Podcast about it. But to have you suggest something that we should build here at Blueberry, and we'll give you all the credit for it. And I think there was something else about that, wasn't there? Some other prize?
No, it's basically you get credit for it, and we work with you.
Okay.
Yeah, we work with you to implement it. So the information on it is on the PowerPressPodcast.com website. We definitely want you to, if you've got something you think would be awesome for us to build. So again, the next best tool contest is ending soon. So I think it's sometime next week, very, very soon. So make sure you get your entry in.
November 11th, it says.
Ah, so we've got 4 days left.
Yeah, so basically you just create either a 1 to 4 minute audio or video entry. And describe the idea and what problem it might solve and how it would help out podcasters and Blueberry and podcasting in general.
And so, it's where you can upload a text file too with the description. So let's talk a little bit about Divi's. Divi's got some issues.
Yeah, and normally this wouldn't be in the Blueberry news section, but it's becoming a little more widespread. Divi put out a update to their theme, which is version 4. That's a very popular paid theme by Elegant Themes, and it's breaking RSS feeds. It's taking all the enclosures out except for the last one for those posts that you're using the Divi Builder to build. I always say that you shouldn't use a builder to build podcast posts. It's okay to build the pages on your site. It's, you know, all that, and maybe written blog posts and that. But to use the builder for a podcast post can cause issues, and this latest update to Divi 4 has done that. Elegant Themes is aware of it. They are working on the issue. But there's a couple of ways you can avoid that problem. Is A, you know, don't use the builder to build podcast posts. Or you can ask Elegant Themes to send you the previous version, which you could roll back to temporarily until they get it worked out in version 4.
Did they give a timeline or anything on when they think they're going to get it fixed?
I'm getting this third hand through a customer, so no, they didn't. But they are aware of the issue, and they say they're working on it.
That's a pretty big bug when you're gutting RSS feeds. Why would you ever touch an RSS feed if you are a content management system?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure it was just an oversight. I don't think they meant to do it. But, you know, they're trying to make things look pretty. And that, you know, that goes along the lines of what we talked about last week about trying to keep things simple is, you know, yes, it's great to have it look pretty. But if you're wanting your feed to work and, you know, sometimes simpler is better, you know, for at least the feed part or the post part of your WordPress. It's definitely worth it, believe me. But, you know, be a little bit careful about the fancy stuff.
Yeah, because Divi works a lot on short code. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's interesting to see what they've done there. But hopefully they get it fixed soon. But again, if you use Divi and you've upgraded recently, your feed may only have one post in it. And it's basically from using the Divi builder to build episodes in the feed. So just be aware of that. So we'll keep you advised on when Divi has fixed it, and because I know a lot of people use Divi. Let's move into the interview. We've got Joshua Manley from Nerd On, the podcast, and I think you're going to enjoy this interview. It was done a couple weeks ago with Joshua, so we'll be back after the interview. I want to welcome Nerd On the podcast to Podcast Insider. Welcome to its host, Joshua Manley. Joshua, thank you for joining us on Podcast Insider.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It was a little bit of a mouthful there because when you told me your show was Nerd On! The podcast, I wanted to start it off by saying the Nerd On, but that doesn't make no sense. So,
not to be confused with the Nerdist either.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, welcome to the show, and why don't you just introduce yourself and a little 411 about you for the rest of the audience?
Yeah, my name is Joshua Manley, and I am one of the co-hosts of Nerd On, the podcast. Outside of Nerd On, I am an audio mixer in post-production. I live in Los Angeles, so that's what I've been doing for several years. But Nerd On, yeah, we started the podcast a couple of years ago, and it keeps going strong. Just hit, we're a little over 100 episodes, 2 years in. It's a lot of fun. We dig it.
You know, I have to give you kudos here. You sound like you're right here in the room with me. Your sound is fantastic. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't always work out that way, but Skype is cooperating today. But yeah, you sound awesome. But so, Joshua, you know, I think the question we always lead off in this segment is you know, what really was the decision point, or what was the factor, or what made you think, hey, I'm going to do a podcast? And, you know, what was the genesis story of that?
Well, funny enough, so Nerd On started probably, really what happened was the four founders, as I like to call them, the founding crew, we all worked in a retail store together. It was a major technology retail store, and we honestly, just like friends do, we'd be sitting around in the break room talking about, I don't know, whether it was a movie that had just come out, or we'd be just, you know, just having a conversation like, oh, did you see that? Oh, what was your favorite part? Oh, I didn't like this about it. Oh, that was my favorite character. You know how friends do, just talking about stuff that they're fans of. And one day we were kind of going, wow, we should just record this and make a podcast. And I was already an audio engineer. I have a home studio. And I was like, guys, I have all of the gear to be able to do that. And I've done podcasting before. So I'm pretty familiar with what we need to do to do this process. And so we had a meeting. and just to even see if we would be even interested in doing it. We had this meeting, and probably for a few hours, we just discussed what we wanted the show to be, who we wanted to talk to, who, I mean, really, that first meeting was just who we wanted to be, what kind of, because there's lots of pop culture podcasts out there, and we are of the mind that it's not about competition, it's about cooperation. And I think every nerd or geek or pop culture flavored podcast deserves a place in the world. And also every opinion, I believe, deserves a place in the world. And so our show is really, we knew we wanted to be a show that celebrated fandom. And we can sit in a room and we can say, ah, man, I really love Jurassic Park. And then somebody can say, you know what? I really didn't like this. Oh, but I did. And then we kind of discuss. And it's a discussion. It's just, like I said, it's friends talking. And from there, our intention was just to do like one episode every couple of weeks. And we sat down for our first recording session, and our intention was to record a few and release a few at the get-go. And we just enjoyed it so much that by the end of the day, we were like, you know what? Let's do this weekly. And so we started doing Nerd on the Podcast within a month, weekly. And from there, we added a fourth member. Her name is Caitlin. She added on maybe a few months ago. A few months after we started. And from there, the great thing about Nerd On is that there's five of us, and we all have different capabilities or really experiences that we can bring to the experience. So I'm an audio engineer. One of my hosts, Tom and Corey, they are both filmmakers. And so we kind of have the film side of it. Then we have Ali, who is our graphic artist. He went to school for graphic design, and that's what he does. And he's done all of our design and all that kind of stuff. And then Caitlin has a lot of experience in running content creation from like different tech websites. So she's on the written side. And when she joined, we started doing a lot more YouTube content, a lot more written content. I mean, Nerd On has grown substantially to the point of we're always completely surprised at where it is now. Like our Patreon keeps growing and our community keeps growing, social media, seeing the engagement on there. It's just so fun to interact with fans and get to talk about, I'm so excited about this new comic book that's coming out or whatever. And now Nerd On has four different shows that we do. Nerd On, the main crew has Nerd On the Podcast and the Nerd On Update. The Nerd On the Podcast, we just talk about something that's topical. Like this past week, we did Zombieland Double Tap, the newest movie. And then on Fridays, we do the Nerd On Update, which is a news show where we talk about the news that excited us. And then we also answer questions from fans. We also have Trope Time, in which they talk about basically the tropes in pop culture that are kind of cringeworthy, but they still love those things, but we can still talk about the things that are not, I don't know, they're just a little cringeworthy. And then we have the Capeless Crusaders, who are strictly a comic book podcast. So we've grown a lot.
It sounds like it. And, you know, most of the interviews I've done have been with solo podcasters. So for me, this is kind of exciting in that you're bringing the perspective of having a group. So how has that dynamic worked out in keeping people on schedule? Have you had people drop off that have come, or do people miss from time to time? You know, how do you navigate that? And what was the conversation really before you get started when you were, you know, when you're in the genesis of forming the show, you know, because were you worried about, you know, someone being 2 months in and punching out, or, you know, what was the kind of the strategy there?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been, because of my experience in podcasting and in audio, and since we started only in audio, I was kind of dubbed, quote, the producer, because I had experience. Sure. And basically, I also produced my own album at one point, so I had to produce things. Really, our initial conversation was, what are we doing here? Are we hobbyists, or are we trying to start a business? And all of us agreed that we all like to have our own business. We're all entrepreneurs. We're all in the entertainment industry in some way. And so we all agreed we wanted to, this is a business to us.
Nice.
And so what that requires is it does require a lot more dedication. And so as we've grown, I would kind of say that our policies have shifted as we've learned that this thing, life, happens.
Right.
And because there are five members of NerdOn, kind of the main crew in our two shows, you know, something went down with one of our hosts where he had kind of a major family emergency happen, which ended up a family member passing away. And it was a huge learning experience for us because he had to be out for a little while. And I think at one point we were like, no, everybody's got to be there. We were fighting that fight. Everybody's got to be there. And it was then that we realized, you know what, that's almost, it's an unrealistic expectation for everybody to be there all at the same time. And so we had to open up the doors for being able to do remote recording. We had to be able to be flexible in the sense that, okay, this person has a job that they have to do on our record day, so they're not going to be there. Or this person's going to Japan or whatever. It's
right.
It really has opened I think we've become a lot more flexible. The other part of the dynamic is that when you're starting a business with friends, the cliche is that you can't start and run a successful business with friends. And I'm going to be perfectly honest, I don't believe that. I think that what has to happen is that everybody has to be willing to have those hard conversations and be able to say, you know what, when you do this behavior, it affects the business in this way or whatever. And we have to have mature conversations and, you know, sometimes cry if we need to, mm-hmm. and be able to talk to each other and be like, hey, you dropped the ball there. And we can't have that ball dropped again. Or would you say this? It makes, you know, it really just having open communication. And right. It really has grown over the years. We've gotten much better at it. The other thing about talking about pop culture is you're dealing with something that can potentially be very, very personal to somebody. You know, it's very real that if you're a fan of, say, let's say Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or Star Trek, or it doesn't matter what you're a fan of, it can have a real personal connection to, gosh, your heart, your soul. It's a part of you.
Sure.
And so when you're talking about something like that and you want to have I want to use the word constructive conversation about it, like, whether you need to talk about something that you didn't like about Lord of the Rings and somebody's a big fan of it, these people on both sides need to be able to have a constructive conversation about it. And that's what we're about. And that's been a learning experience too, of not to take things personal, of saying, you know what, I really like that. And you know what, you are allowed to like that.
Right.
I didn't like it. And this is why. And you did like it. Why did you like that? And we always use the kind of the cliche of like a bad book report of, I like this book. Why? Because it was good. Well, you need to tell me a little bit more about why you liked it. If it's a feeling, that's okay too. if it's like, oh, you really like the cinematography of this particular movie, that's okay too. Yeah, the dynamic has really shifted, and the good thing about it is we all take responsibility in a sense that we have our jobs. For the first few months of Nerd On, I was running everything. I was doing graphics. I was doing social media. I was doing the audio pod. I was doing everything. And in all actuality, I kind of had a breakdown. And I told everybody, I was like, you guys, I need your help because this is driving me. I can't do it anymore.
Right. And I fully understand that. You know, that was like when we launched Tech Podcast, it was the same way. It was like, I can't do this alone. I'm dying here.
Yeah.
And did you guys come up with a business agreement? Did you write that out in the beginning, or did that kind of come down as a conversation later when some money started to come in? How did you guys work that?
I mean, it's really kind of a constant communication that we have. It's also an understanding. It's in all actuality, that is probably a weakness that we have, that we need to put that down in writing. But right now it's a gentleman's agreement. And so far we always touch base about it because it is something that we're very mindful about, because we don't just have the Nerd On crew, that because we hold ourselves at a certain expectation because we started this company. And so if somebody comes in, like we have, like Trope Time started with two hosts that aren't us, and the Capeless Crusaders are four hosts that aren't us. And so we hold them at the same expectation, a sense of what is the promise that we make to our audience. But we can't hold them at the same expectation that we hold ourselves. Like, you know, there has to be a bit of a flexibility in a sense of like, we're doing this because we started this business and we want to be easy on everybody but we've had all those conversations of like, okay, this is where the money is going right now. And able to keep the business afloat, to allow it to grow. But we're always like, okay, what do you need? Is it gear? Is it this? Okay, let's budget for that. Let's save up for that. That kind of stuff. So it's an agreement that we have within the team, and we've discussed with other members of the whole Nerd On Entertainment world, that right now money goes towards keeping the business afloat.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about your Patreon and your community engagement, because that's something that's always a challenge for podcasters, is they feel like they don't get enough community engagement.
Yeah. So that conversation that I told you about, where I kind of had a breakdown and I told everybody, I need your help. One of my co-hosts, Corey, he said, you know what, I'll do social media. And he's been really awesome about it. Social media is something that it doesn't have a, there is not a 1+1=2 kind of thing when it comes to social media. And so he's researching new strategies all the time, researching, you know, times to post or what hashtags to use or who to tag and how to tag them, because that's a thing. You can't just tag somebody in Twitter and expect something from it. There's strategy to it. He hit the ground running and was like, okay, I'm going to figure out how to engage with people. And, you know, our Patreon honestly has been a huge part for us in growing our community. We started the Patreon a few months after we started, and began, you know, within a month we had hit our first goal, which was fantastic, and that kind of paid the original bills to run Nerd On. And since then it's just been such a joy to see fan interaction. And with our Patreon, we do have we have Discord attached to our Patreon, and what the Discord is now is so much fun. It's it's the, we call our Patreon the Nerd On Nation. And what they, and so who joins that, they get automatic access to the Discord server. And within that Discord server, there are sub servers like, of course, you've got movies, you've got comic books, you've got anime, you've got TV shows, you've got all of these different aspects of fandom. But you also have things like gardening or DIY or Today I Learned, or because the Nerd On Update is one of our other shows, part of that show is we answer questions from fans, and they can either send them into an email, or if they can submit them via social media, or, you know, if you're a part of the Nerd On Nation, you can actually, there's a sub server in there that you can submit your questions there. And it's just fun to see the communication that happens within that server. And it's great there, but we always try to, if somebody comments on, whether it be social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or even on our YouTube videos, we try to always make sure that we respond. I mean, while we can, because right. I mean, there's going to come a point, you know, hopefully there's going to come a point where the notification thing is just always popping, and it's hard to keep track of everything and comment back on everything. But we want to try to do that.
Right. You know, I think it's, you're the second podcaster I've talked to that's using Discord, and it's, the other one was a similar type of content, gaming particular. And I feel a lot of people are using Discord. You know, I've used Slack and I've used the Mastodon server. And I'm starting to think maybe Discord is kind of the way to go. But it's kind of a cool way to build that community. And it's something that probably a lot of your listeners are already using in their day-to-day, you know, online world. So it just makes a natural place for them to hang out.
Yeah.
So what has this show then done for your team? Has there been opportunities that have been made available to you that weren't before? What kind of doors have been opened up here?
Yeah. I mean, some things that have happened is, you know, we've gotten the chance to go to conventions and meet people that are heroes to us. We were at San Diego Comic-Con this past year, and Tom, my co-host, is a big fan of the animation, the Batman show, Batman Beyond. And he got to meet Will Friedle and interview him on camera. And there's fan moments where you're like, oh my gosh,
right.
Like we've had people like, Jonathan Frakes, who was Commander Riker on Star Trek, The Next Generation, Kevin Conroy, who has been the voice of Batman for gosh, 30 years now almost. And getting to talk to people like that is, we've got to sit in the room with Billy West, who is the voice of Ren and Stimpy and most of the Futurama cast. And it's been an interesting learning experience of going, this sounds so silly and so it's kind of like a dumb moment, but it's like, these are people.
Yep.
And it's fun to get to just talk to them about things. I mean, we've had opportunities come up where people have gotten to be interviewed by, like, actually my co-host Tom, he was back home, and one of his teachers from college or high school, I think it was high school, asked him to come in and talk to the students specifically about podcasting. And I mean, there's a lot of, I feel like Nerd On has, it's grown so much that we've had so many opportunities of, like, you know, YouTube content and where we've grown from there, and Twitch content. It's hard. I mean, it's just connecting with bigger companies that really you just, I have the mentality of, if you want to connect with somebody, you kind of just, you know, F it, just do it.
Right.
Because the worst you're going to get is a no, and you can't get a yes if you don't ask.
That's fact.
And so when we're at E3 or Comic-Con or WonderCon, or we're at these different conventions, we're of the mind of, like, well, I can't get a yes if I don't ask. Mm-hmm. So we'll go up to companies like Square Enix or Sony or Nintendo and just ask the question, can we get in here? Can we film? And if you're a nice person, people are like, yeah, let's do it. Like that's our mentality. Be a good person.
You know, I take a crew to CES every year, and actually another team member is leading it this year. But I remember going into a Samsung booth, and we normally go in there and do 4 or 5 interviews, and the people were really being, well, they had a change of PR companies or whatever, but they were not being nice. And I'm like, I'm here to cover you. And in the opposite token, I'm being nice and you're not, I'm leaving, you know? So it's one of those situations where it can work the other way too, you know?
And yeah, definitely.
They don't have their messaging down. But I think for the most part, I think most companies recognize the value in, you know, talking to teams like yours, because it's just additional exposure. Nothing more, you know, there's nothing better than fan, you know, discussions, even if it's, some of it may be critical. You know, you talked about the first con I went to was Dragon Con, and it was the summer.
Nice. Yeah.
And so for me, that was pretty eye-opening, because I've never really been, you know, where a lot of these folks, as you had said, it's their lifestyle. You know, they're Trekkies, or they are whatever genre of content that is very, very deep in their soul. And you look at it, the amount of merch they buy and everything else, and you're like, wow, very, very cool. And again, for those that have been to cons, they're fully engaged in this and they fully know that. But for folks that are listening to the show that have never been to a Dragon Con or Comic Con, if you're a fan, I would recommend that you go, because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, because you're surrounded by your people.
Right.
Like it's like this. I think about when I, because I also went to college for acting, and all through high school I had a lot of friends that were in drama club with me, which was cool, but going to college for acting, it's like I was in the theater department. So all of the theater nerds, I'm surrounded by my people. So when you go to a convention, you're surrounded by your people, and it's a lot of fun.
And what that allows you to do too, and this is the thing I think you understand completely, but I try to share with podcasters, is that if you're in a niche of content, go to where your fans are, go to where your content is, and create content from there to bring those folks that can't be there into that world. And it's so powerful. And from a content standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, kind of on that note, when it comes to creating content, you always have to be, you got to think on your feet, in a sense of, okay, that didn't work, and be open to changing, or be open to not changing. You know, create new content, try new things. And going to conventions was kind of like that next, like, well, let's try that. And I mentioned Caitlin, one of my co-hosts. She has a lot of experience in going to cons, and so it's been fun having her expertise, so to speak. Mm-hmm. To how to handle cons as press, because that's also a different, that's a different beast in being press, being a fan, and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're handled a little different than a normal attendee as well. So it's that. And plus, then you get all this great content to feed the show with, or make supplementary content, or whatever it may
be. Definitely.
So yeah, exciting. So I can see where your strategy has worked very well, and where you guys are going. So you're 2 years in. I think, you know, it took me 5 years to learn what you guys have already replicated in two, and it excites me to see and again, I'm not saying, well, what I'm just saying is I think you've nailed it, and I think you guys...
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I think your guys' show has nowhere to go but up, and then, of course, expanding the network a little by little as you can afford, and getting the right people. And I think that's part of it too. You know, how did you, we got about, I think about 3 minutes left, but how did you decide then on the shows that you added? Because finding the right fit of people often is a big challenge. How did you find them?
Well, in all honesty, it's kind of keeping it in the family. The hosts of Trope Time, they were the first additional show that we added. They were kind of, they were friends of Caitlin's from another company, and they were writers. Like, we have written content on our website as well. Mm-hmm. And they kind of pitched the idea to us because they had had a podcast for a while, and it was kind of, it was a bit spotty. It was like episodes every couple of months or every few months, and it was ran with several different people. And these two writers, Nikki and Izzy, just said, you know, we'd like to do this podcast, and we heard them out, and we were like, yeah, let's that'd be a fun part of fandom to include. The Capeless Crusaders is a team of four, and really they came from Tom, our co-host. He started the Capeless Crusaders with this particular team back in like 2012 up in Sacramento, and they, you know, they kind of, they've been going at it for a long time, and nothing was really quite working in terms of growth and stuff like that. And they kind of petered out in a sense of like, episodes weren't happening as often. And we kind of had this lightning idea of, well, what if they joined Nerd On? And right. we use the resources that we have to our disposal. Like, I edit their show now, and Ali designs their graphics. And it's like, let us take on some of the responsibility that is running a show. Mm-hmm. And you actually create the show. And so we kind of hold them at an expectation, like both shows. Like, we expect, like, we have promised the audience, like, this, your episode goes up on the first Monday or the third Monday of every month, and a bonus episode goes to Patreon every month. So there's kind of this expectation in that sense, but it's really, it is keeping it in the family, and we've discussed possibly adding new shows in the past and in the future. And it probably will be a little bit of a, you know, keeping it in the family or vetting people so we know that A, they jive with us, and they're about what we are about. Right. And that's really what it comes down to, is be about what we are and come here to do what we are doing, because we're dedicated to the mission that is Nerd On, and we do want to make Nerd On a successful company that podcasting, video creation, written content, we want that.
Yep.
And but that takes dedication, and we need that dedication from everybody involved, or as they say, it's cliche, but you're only as strong as your weakest link.
True.
And so yeah, it's there's a lot to it, I think, but that's kind of the base, the foundation of it.
Well, I'm sure you've given everyone listening some thought here, because it's always good, you know, as we do these interviews, there's always like bits of takeaways of stuff that makes me even go, as I'm writing down here on a sheet of paper, some things you said that are, you know, good takeaways that can be used. So
yeah,
I want to thank you for coming on the Podcast Insider.
Of course.
Where can they find you? What's the contact website, all that stuff?
Oh yeah, Nerd On is our website is super easy, nerdon.tv. And I mean, once you get there, there's all the links to what we do, our show, the different shows that we do. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. All of them are Nerd On TV. We're on Twitch. It's the only one in the gang that is not Nerd On TV. It is Nerd On. We do stream weekly a couple of times. All of our episodes go to YouTube, so you can watch there too. But the show is everywhere. It's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, pretty much everywhere you will be able to find us. But if you lose the links, nerdon.tv has them all there. And Patreon, we are on there. You can check us out, nerdon.io/Patreon.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Joshua, thanks so much, and appreciate you coming on Podcast Insider. Best of luck to you and your team. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Joshua Manley, Nerd On the Podcast. I hope you enjoyed his interview. You can check on Nerd On him. Check him out at nerdon.tv. That's the place to go. Mike, you're up. What's going on in support?
Well, this first thing about Google Podcasts is more specifically for PowerPress users. We found out right when Google Podcasts come out how they built the links that they use in Google Podcasts. And so we predict the link to Google's podcast for your show. That doesn't mean your show is there yet. Because if you're a brand new website, Google Podcasts is based on search. So until they have indexed your site with that particular feed in the header, which we have a setting for, it's not going to be on Google Podcasts. And I've seen it take anywhere from a month to 2 or 3 months, and it's really frustrating for podcasters. But just know that there's really not a whole lot you can do to force that. I mean, you can sign on to the webmaster tools or whatever it's called now. They keep changing the name of it. And, try to get them to index your site. But until they do, you're not going to be there. You can go over, by the way, and check, and I'll have a link to this, but you can do a Google search for Google Podcast Preview. Put your feed address in there and see if you're in there. And if you are and the link is different that we predicted, then you can change it right there in the Destinations tab. But, Google Podcast works differently than everything else. It's all based on search. You can't submit to them yet. I think you talked to somebody at Google that they may be adding that at some point. But for right now, it's pretty much based on search. So until your website is indexed with that feed in the right place, and that's just a checkbox in the feeds tab of PowerPress, feed discovery. Check that box, and Google will be able to find you.
We should have that on by default, don't you think?
I would think so. I do believe I've discussed that with the team, so that might happen.
So one thing, though, is, just remember, if you're only putting up podcast posts, probably it's going to be a little bit longer. Google rewards people that are putting fresh content up on their website on a regular basis, and that's more than weekly. Yeah. So keep that in mind as Google is trying to index your page, and
you're not writing enough show notes. I mean, some people just put a sentence in there. You should really put a few sentences.
Yeah, you got to have a little more meat in there. Give something Google to chew on and make you worthy of indexing. So next up, we've got talking about Pandora and iHeart.
Yeah, you notice in the latest versions of PowerPress, we've added a couple destinations. Of course, Deezer, which we talked about earlier. Pandora and iHeart are also there with a link to an instruction page on how to get on there. That is no guarantee that you're going to get on those. Destinations have been traditionally picky, and they take a little bit of time to get on. I took over a year on one of my podcasts, and then the next one I submitted to Pandora, was up in a couple of weeks. So, but it's highly not guaranteed is what I'm trying to get to, trying to say, because I get support tickets saying, I applied to Pandora or iHeart, and I haven't heard anything yet. What's going on? And it's like, well, there's no guarantees. We just put that there for those of you that are on there, and we give you a way to apply.
I think even iHeart wants a show to be at least 8 to 10 weeks old and have 8 to 10 episodes. So oftentimes they'll make sure a show is actually going to, make it. And then, it's basically going to be producing content before they will allow it. So very rarely will you get rarely will you get a show on there with just one episode.
Right, and that's the thing. It's not guaranteed, and they have different requirements. Now, if you're hosting with Blueberry Podcasting and you're not doing anything that violates copyrights, Spotify will accept you pretty much automatically. You just do that from the dashboard. But to submit through us, you have to be hosting with us. Deezer, as we talked about before, as long as your feed is, technically working properly, and you're listed in the Blueberry directory, you can submit to Deezer via Blueberry. And that's, I wouldn't say guaranteed, but it's pretty much guaranteed that you're going to get on there.
Yeah. So one thing for sure, though, is one thing to think about on Spotify, too, is Spotify, we're finding, and we were going to go through the pass-through on Spotify this week, But we found we had about 600 shows that are producing on M4A files.
Yeah.
And when we go to pass-through, Spotify will take any show that's producing on M4A and essentially kill it. They don't like M4A over there. They work on MP3. So what we have to do is internally, if you're running M4, and they're doing this anyway, Spotify is converting your M4A to MP3 internally. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to have to look at a solution for those that are producing M4A, in order to be in Spotify again, has to be MP3. So we'll probably internally do a solution. We don't like to do this at all, but it's the only way we can go to pass through is if your file is being the file that Spotify gets is an MP3 file. So it's a big issue. And we were really pretty shocked that there's that many people actually using M4A versus MP3. But again, Spotify is M4A adverse. Now, if you think about that a little bit, why is Spotify M4A adverse? And I'm not going to try to guess, but M4A is an Apple protocol.
Yep.
And I just wonder.
MP3, Fraunhofer no longer holds a patent on that, so that's kind of open source-ish.
Yep.
You know, so that may be why.
So anyway, so we're trying to come up with a solution there for those of you that are on are creating your episodes in M4A. And it is a real issue. So just one thing too, if there's, and I doubt there's anyone listening to this show, but if you know of or are using an old plugin called PodPress, oh my goodness, you need to get off that immediately. This thing's been hacked for years. WordPress.org even says it's no longer available for download. And we've got conversion tools in PowerPress to let you convert a PodPress setup to PowerPress. We just ran into somebody recently that was still running a PodPress site. They hadn't touched it in years. They wanted to convert. And you can almost be assured that if you're running PodPress on any site today, you've probably been compromised.
Yeah.
And but PodPress, that's been gone how long, Mike?
Oh, at least 4 or 5 years. Oh, at more least. Than that.
I would say like 8 years, maybe 9.
Yeah, it's been gone for a really long time. Dave had one this morning. That's why I added it to the list. He had a guy this morning that was trying to implement stats, and he was using PodPress. And you know, okay, yeah, there's a place in there for Blueberry Statistics. But, yeah, I wonder how long that. I have to look at the files and see how long that is. But, yeah, it's got to be, you know, like you said, probably 8-9 years maybe.
Yeah, and there's a flash component in there that is definitely, I mean, that is a known pathway.
Yeah, even so Adobe's gave up on Flash.
What'd you say, Mike?
I said even Adobe's given up on Flash.
Oh, no, you know, so it's been years. So did you get him to switch, the guy that was using PodPress? Or
Dave was still negotiating with him, so we'll see.
My God, you know, that's his site's probably done.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't even know it.
Right.
So get off PodPress if you. Yeah, I'm shocked that people are still using it. That's the second one in about 2 weeks.
Right, and you know, and the thing is, how do you even get PodPress? You can't get it from the repository. You go to PodPress, you know, their website.
They've just updated WordPress forever, or maybe they haven't updated WordPress, and. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, it's just crazy because, you know, I just spent a little time moving some sites around to a new server, and I had a couple old plugins that didn't run on the new server, and it come right up and said, we're not implementing this plugin. I don't understand how PodPress could even run as old as it is.
It's probably running an old version of WordPress, and wow, I guess to each his own, but just be forewarned that I mean, the reason why we made PowerPress in the beginning is because PodPress was abandoned.
Yeah.
That was the reason for PowerPress. So however long PowerPress has been out.
That's been even longer than that then.
Yeah, it's however long PowerPress has been out is how long PodPress has been actually abandoned. Now, it worked okay for the first year or so until it became compromised. And then, yeah, so And I know there's some of you been on here for a long time that used to use PodPress.
But. Yeah, I started on that. And it was a good plugin while it was available.
Yep.
But, you know, things change.
That's fact. All right. So you had one more thing.
Yeah. And like I said, it's a little bit of a gripe, but lately I've been getting a lot of requests for a video screen sharing support for those using free stats or just using PowerPress and hosting elsewhere or, things like that, or even just for a directory list. I had one guy, wanted to fix his directory listing. And, we'd love to help you and we'll help you via email and via the contact form and all that. But our screen sharing support, that's mainly for our customers. And I don't mean to be that way, but, we only have so much time in a day.
Yep.
I can't spend an hour with somebody on a free stats account and justify that. Not trying to be, mean. We'll help you out all we can via email, via our contact support. We've got, a team of support techs that'll be happy to help you out with some of the free stuff as well. But just know that, the phone and the video stuff is, reserved for our customers.
Okay. Already went. I'm Todd at blueberry.com. Don't forget about that free consulting offer. Send me an email, Todd at blueberry.com, if you want to be added to the list. And Mike?
Yeah, Mike at blueberry.com. And of course, support at blueberry.com will get you all the help you need.
And if you have any topic that you want us to cover here on Podcast Insider, let us know. We'll be back with you next week. It'll be Mike and somebody next week. It won't be me because I'll be in Los Angeles at the Digital Hollywood event. We'll talking see. About podcasting. So if you're in the LA area and you want to learn about podcasting, November 14th, Digital Hollywood at the Scarborough Center. Tickets are available online.
All right. Well, I'll see who I can get as a co-host next week, and we'll see you in two.
All right. Mike, thanks so much. And everyone, take care. We'll see you next week on Podcast Insider.